All right, as we turn to God's Word together, I'm going to take one more week off of our series on Jeremiah and just share with what some of the things that God impressed upon me over the course of the last week and a half or so. But before we begin that, would you join me in prayer again? Lord, we want to come before you and allow your Word to be a light into our lives right now. We'd ask you to give us the ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us right now. And Lord, we ask this knowing that you have given us your Spirit to follow and follow faithfully the direction you give us in your Word. So we want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. Use this time, Lord, as you know best. Amen. So if I were to come to you and give you the opportunity to join thousands of people, to walk hundreds and hundreds of miles, to wait in line countless hours, to endure heat and humidity that you're not used to at all, and to also endure an occasional downpour in which you really get any wetter, what would I have to tell you to get you to come, not just once, but maybe twice, and then to invite your friends and family to join you? What would I have to do? You know, if you think about it, it is absolutely mind-blowing what Walt Disney has created in Disney World. That's where Lisa and I and Jacob and Whitney and Riley and Barry and Terry were this past few days. And I honestly, whether it's a blessing or a curse, I'm not sure, but wherever I go, I take me with me, and I analyze. You know, I just analyze, and I'm watching this go on, and I'm docking kids, and I'm waiting in line, and my feet are killing me, but I keep, you know, and I marvel at the fact that, you know, if somebody were to give you the opportunity to go through all of that, what would they have to tell you to get you to go? Would you even consider going? But people go by the millions. There's something that Walt Disney has created down in Disneyland, Disney World, that draws people like flies. It's amazing to watch. It really is. I began to look to see what it was. And I'd heard quite a bit about Walt Disney in the past couple of years in anticipation of this trip. And really, there's a lot of things that he has done that reflect scriptural principles. They just do. And as I looked and I began to wonder what it is that stands out about this incredible experience that draws people this way. And I couldn't help but wonder, you know, what's the church doing wrong? Again, I had to take myself on vacation. I couldn't stuff him back into the suitcase. And so every once in a while I was waiting in line for an hour, that would go through my mind. And I think, you know, what could we learn from what Walt Disney has done so successfully, if anything? Can we learn anything from this? Because it's working. Let me tell you, not only do you go through all that, but you get to donate lots of money. It's not free. And so I was just thinking about all these things, and it just was like scripture started coming to my mind, just one right after another. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. It's not a commercial for Disney. I get no commission. and it's not to be negative either. It's to just to look at what these people involved with this have created and say, wow, you know, what can we learn from it? So here we go. The first thing, and this strikes you right off the bat, we're walking into magical kingdom. And we're kind of getting used to the crowds, you know, and kind of dodging a little bit. And one of the first things that I remember hearing, although it's quite a ways into the park, is they're doing this big presentation right at the castle, which is the landmark of the whole thing. And we get there right towards the end when Mickey says something along the lines of, anything is possible if you believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself and your friends and your family, anything is possible. And so I think to myself, wow, that's probably one of the biggest things that Disney has going for it. It's this idea of belief. It's an idea. It's an idea that draws people. There's something about this thing that they're putting their faith in that draws people. And as the church of Jesus Christ, that is our foundation too. We are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We count on faith. Jesus said, actually the scripture says, that without faith it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, when you look at the people at Disney, they believe in Disney. There's something about it that they really are a part of. And that's what Walt Disney has tried to create. When he started out to do these theme parks, he essentially was trying to create a situation that he wanted as a dad. This is just his story. And he said, you know, I went to these different places and I'd watch my kids play on different rides or do different things, and I always sat over here. There wasn't something that I could be a part of them doing with. And he wanted that. That was part of his inspiration. And so you can see where this idea of believing in yourself and family and friends is really important to him. But you know, that's a big part of if you're going to work at Disney, you need to understand that. But we as the church say that we believe in Jesus, the Son of God, as Savior of the world, as the hope of mankind. We say that we believe in his word in a way that should shape us in our lives completely. And so we, as the church, have this one foundation, and we recognize that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So to me, this is a very hopeful note. We got something that can sell. I mean, that sounds like a really crass way to put it, but that we are surrounded with a world who are in desperation for something they can truly believe in. A lot of people latched on to what Disney brings. And again, I'm not being critical. That's just the fact. I was there. But we're here to share a faith in God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. Without that, we might as well pack it up. We have no kingdom to offer to be a part of without that. Jesus, there's countless opportunities, countless examples of this throughout scripture. One of them comes when Jesus' disciples, like you and I, they're in the midst of ministry. And Jesus wasn't there at the time, but he steps into the scene. And there was a young boy there who was filled with evil spirits, and these evil spirits had tried to kill him on various occasions. So the dad brought this his son who was in such need to his disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Now, they had brought healing to others. So it wasn't something that was new to them. In fact, later in the story, we hear that they're a little surprised it didn't work. They asked, well, why didn't it work when we tried to cast out this demon? And Jesus comes in, and he heals this young boy. And then we're picking it up in Matthew chapter 7. This is what happens after the fact. In verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as the mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, that might be a really familiar story to many of us, but are you hearing what the Spirit is saying today? Why couldn't we do this, Lord? Why couldn't we do it? His answer was really straightforward, because you have so little faith. That's a very humbling thought to me. Makes me be still and slow down. Say, am I truly trusting in the Lord and with what he has given me to do? Huge. And like in Disney World, faith is everything. The second thing that I noticed and observed, and this was huge, I was astounded. We went through this exhibit that just gave a real brief overview of Walt Disney's life. And you see it everywhere you turn, and that is, this man worked hard. Oh my gosh. I mean, he worked so hard his whole life. You know, you see pictures of him kind of in different settings where he doesn't seem to be working at all. That's because he worked so hard behind the scenes. He worked so hard in his early career that he literally collapsed. Literally collapsed. And that gave him new perspective on life because he worked himself into such a hole. And it really changed. I think it really changed him a lot. But hard work. And I come to this idea of faith, but James says this about faith in James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters? He's not talking to the people at Disney World. He's talking to you and me. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if one claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by my deeds. Again, Disney World is there because a man had faith and worked like a dog. Now, what does this say to us, brothers and sisters? What does this say to us today? And this, again, is a very humbling reality for me. I'm on vacation, right? And I'm just reflecting, and how hard am I really working that reflects what I say I believe? That's what James is saying. It's not about working our way into heaven. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, James really was, you know, you got to be careful with that because, you know, you can't work your way into heaven. That's not what James is talking about. He's saying if you have real belief, you do something. If you have faith and you see something, you see it with eyes of faith and you can't help but do something. Otherwise, it's not real faith. It's dead. So we look at ourselves, I hope, brothers and sisters, ask ourselves, well, you know, does how I use my time and my energy, which is limited, so I have to make choices, how do I use my time and energy working for the kingdom of God? I think it starts in our own personal life, in our own discipleship, time with God in prayer and His Word, to be sure. It starts in our homes with our families and our kids. How do we serve them in the name of the Lord? Then it goes to our neighbors. We're to love them as we love ourselves. And we're to look out to the physical needs around us, but not just the physical needs, but the spiritual. I think that was very evident in what Helen shared with us about Young Life today earlier. That's a lot of hard work, isn't it, Helen? Fun, some of the time, but just flat out hard work. That's a reality. You don't build a kingdom. You don't build a kingdom of God without a lot of hard work. I think sometimes the church misses that. And we justify ourselves by saying, well, I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by faith. And I say, you're absolutely right. But what are you going to do with it? I think James is trying to point that out. I think Jesus demonstrated it in his life. Would you like to have kept his schedule? It'd been tough. Another thing that I noticed about, well, actually, before I move on from that, I wanted to highlight something in your outline, and it's just Paul giving his own testimony. I'll leave this with you. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, and he just talked about how hard he worked because it's demonstrated by its works. And another thought along this idea of hard work, you know, one thing that Disney never did was rest on what he'd done yesterday. Never. Again, this guy's amazing. You know, if you follow his story, if he failed, he learned from it, got up, and kept going. And he failed big time, a couple times. He actually went bankrupt once. And then, once he was successful, what did he do? Did he say, oh, good, I can just kind of kick back and let ride this out? No. He took what his profits were and he kept reinvesting and building what he was doing. And I wonder how that would work in the kingdom of God. This church, do we as followers of Christ say, well, you know what, I did some things last year. You know, I feel pretty good about what I did yesterday. It's somebody else's turn. I'm going to sit. And I'm just going to sit here. You know what happens? Is you stop sitting here and you sit somewhere else. Because really, what we invest ourselves in, where our hearts are, is what we're all about. And I've just seen this happen time and again with my brothers and sisters. I'm not questioning their salvation, but when they disengage, disinvest, stop reinvesting themselves in the kingdom of God, they seem to go away. And they stop participating in what God is doing. Just do. I think it might be human nature. I'm not sure. I can tell you what somebody at Disney World, what would happen with them, they'd get fired. They just would. And we wouldn't hear about Disney. Because the whole thing was the culmination of reinvesting himself, never resting on what he did yesterday, but pursuing his dream, following where his faith was leading him. So moving on to the third thing, one of the things that you can't help but love about going to Disney World is there's a hope-filled language. There just is. People are just very hopeful. You know, this is the happiest place on earth. Why is that? Well, because, you know, we hope you have a great time. We hope you have wonderful memories before you leave here. We believe that that's going to happen. We're hopeful. When people come in, we believe that they will be better because they came. And it's often the case. They're hopeful because they see the results. And they're hopeful that if they keep doing this, people will continue to come and have very good memories. And then keep coming back. And so what I looked at this and I thought, you know what? It's so important for us to realize that throughout Scripture, God's language is hope-filled language. Have you ever found yourself kind of dragging, not wanting to talk about your faith? Not just share it, but just talk about it. Even with other believers. Because you've lost hope. You might be looking at your life thinking, well, I do it like so-and-so. I've been following Jesus for this long, and it just doesn't seem to be working as well as it does for other people. And you get a little bit discouraged, or maybe a lot, and your hope kind of begins to get a little shaky. And you wonder what you're doing. If we look at Scripture, what I see at least is that there is a temptation, and I use that word on purpose, it's a temptation, to give in to hopeless language. Kind of the same old, just routine, go through the motions kind of language. Whatever that might sound like, it's in our language. I got to go to church. Well, you know, I really should go help this person over here today because, well, that's what Jesus would do if he were here. If he were here. That's not hope-filled language. But you might catch yourself talking to yourself, or you might catch other people talking. Well, you know, that brings people down. Now, I'm not talking about hype and saying, oh boy, gee, golly, let's go. No, I'm not talking about, what I'm talking about is from in here, deep inside of here, there's a hope-filled language because who Jesus is in our lives and where we're going with it. And what's happening because of him in our lives. That's not hype. That's reality. That's truth. And it should be reflected in our language. I hear it at Disney. I hear it in the church. I see it in scriptures. It needs to be encouraged. And so let me give you a little bit of encouragement. I'm going to read fairly lengthy passages of scriptures because we're talking about language here. But listen to the language of Paul to the church, to folks like you and me. In his letter to the Philippians, which is really one of his most joy-filled, encouraging letters, listen to the hope-filled language that he has. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus. Nothing but hope in that. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chain or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Share. Hopeful language. Not because it's going easy. He just got done saying he's in jail. He continues on. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. Who wouldn't want that? Hope-filled language. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Could you ask for any more hopeful language? I mean, could you? And that's the way he talked. That's the way he would interact with people. Granted, it's a little easier when you can sit down and write it out because you're focused and you're thinking. But the truth of the matter is, for Paul, as an example for you and for me, that was coming from in here because that was reality for him. It wasn't hype. He wasn't writing, would send him money. It was coming from deep within because of who Jesus was in his life. And so from that place, that reality, that truth, hope-filled language is just given. But if you continue on, chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work, back to one of the first things we said, can work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who's working in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Hope-filled language. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Hopeless, which is the grumbling and the arguing. Well, that's what we do when we lose hope, right? We start to turn on one another and we turn on ourselves. Did you catch that last piece? We turn on ourselves. When we start to get hopeless, we start to tear ourselves down. We start to grumble and complain, I should do better. I shouldn't have done this. I, blah, 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 blah. I. Right? Hopeless language, because it's all about me. And my hope isn't in John, as I hope your hope isn't in you. Our hope is in Jesus. And that's what Paul says here. He says, for it is God, it is Jesus, his Holy Spirit, who's working in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Filled language. You can check out the rest of that, but it's really powerful. So if we catch ourselves, if you catch yourself grumbling and complaining, say, hey, wait a minute, why am I being hopeless language here? What am I doing? So we could look at this passage of scripture and say, okay, now, great, now I can't grumble or complain anymore. Dang, that was one of my favorite pastimes. But what would happen if we just recognized it for what it was, and that was we lost our hope? We started putting our hope someplace else, and it's failed us, and now we're grumbling and complaining. And return to the hope-filled language of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and where reality and truth are in the kingdom of God. I told Lizzie I was going to shoot for this, but I ain't going to make it. I'm going to leave you to your outline and just kind of skip down a little bit to wrap this up, move towards wrapping it up. And that is, at Disney, you have true team effort. From start to finish, everybody plays a part in the cast. And one thing about a true team effort is if you're not doing your part, you stick out like a sore thumb. You really do. Lisa and I arrive into the parking lot of Magical Kingdom. And we've never been here before. We're trying to do our best to follow the rules. We're driving in and I park. Next thing I know, from behind us, it's going and raving. And I'm going, boy, those people in front of us must have messed up. Because somebody's not having a very happy moment in the Magical Kingdom. And I didn't know what was going on. Next thing I know, it's me. I'm the one who shouldn't have parked there. And so he waved me back, and I had to drive further down the aisle and park in the right place. But this man, he lost it. He was barking orders, and I just got in his way, and boy, howdy, you would think that I had just committed a terrible sin. And in his mind, I had. But I tell you what, he wasn't being a true team member there, because he really betrayed the whole purpose of Disney. The magical moment was lost on this guy, let me tell you. But we got it. We got it back. We got it. True team effort. The next one that really stands out at Disney, and this is actually probably one of my favorite parts of the experience down there this past week, is that people smiled and waved. If you're on True Team Disney, you smile and wave a lot. One of my favorite parts of our time down there was the parades. We went to a couple of them. And to watch them smile and wave. I know that's what you're supposed to do in a parade. But what you saw is people responding in kind. You know, and I had the pleasure of seeing Riley, who had just met a new friend. And they were smiling and waving at the princesses. And everybody was happy. You know? And as I looked at that, it's like, there's something contagious about that smile. There's something catchy about kindness. And I wanted to use a quote, and it's in your outline. This is from the book that we're going to begin this coming week in our small group, entitled The Good and Beautiful Life. This is what he says. In basically summarizing what Wesley said about his purpose as a minister of the gospel. This isn't Wesley, but this is this Smith's summary. Not a religion of laws or ceremonies or mystical knowledge, but of love and kindness. And what is the point of this religion? To get us to heaven? No, to get heaven into us. To help us discover a relationship with God wherein we enjoy God and are easy in ourselves. You see, I think that even though we in a world that is in turmoil and troubled, because we know the King of the universe, we can afford to smile and wave a little bit more. And that's kind of what Wesley was trying to point out. If we are truly acting in the reality of who God is and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ, even if we're in jail, like Paul was, we can smile and wave. That's faith in action. And in doing that, we actually do get a little bit in ourselves. Because that's the way heaven's going to be. Just is. It's going to be this enjoying in God and this peace and ease within ourselves that we've never experienced before. So think about it. Would you want to go to a church where people just were filled with joy and kindness and they smiled and waved? Not to pretend that life wasn't tough, but just out of that inner reality within them. Out of faith, as an expression of their faith. The next thing, again, I'm just going to leave most of this to you with your outline, but important piece. And that is, really, the excellence at Disney is pretty amazing. And the way they get to their excellence, part of it, is they remind people what they're all about. They are to be true to themselves. They're not satisfied with just being another place. Because this is Disney, thank you. And you will have a good time if I have to die trying to help you do that. You know, they just go the extra mile. They do the extra things that make it special. And so it's the idea of our very best. And Paul put it this way to the believers in Colossae. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Do you think about that when you talk with your kids? When you go to school and hang out with your friends? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who you are serving. Do you think about it in those terms? Because that's the reality of God's kingdom. That's the reality of God's kingdom. We are called to our best. We are called to be faithful and to reflect Him in all that we do. And then the last thing I want to share, because this was one of the last things that I remember seeing in Disney, there's a phrase that I ran into several times down there. And it was Walt Disney, towards the end of his life. He says, well, I hope. He says, I hope that we never forget that it all started with a mouse. That's what he says. Now, what is he trying to communicate to folks there? I think some humility. I think recognizing where he started and where he came from. I think humility would make the church look very attractive to the world around us. But not a humility based on some tearing ourselves down, but a humility that never forgets it all started when we as sinners came to Jesus as our Savior. Because when we remember that, then it levels the field with everybody around us, because we're all in sinners in need of a Savior. And that's where it starts for us. And that's where it starts for the person next to us. That's where it starts with the people in Young Life that are coming, that might come to the club, is that we're all in need of a Savior. And what would happen if the church never forgot that that's where it always started? Think back on what you know about church history and all the bad press that the church has created for itself. Would that be there if we never forgot that it all started with our need of a Savior and His amazing grace? And we walked in that kind of humility with God. I want to close with a question, a thought, and an invitation. The question, if I could, and again, I don't mean to be critical at all. This is an honest question. If I could ask Walt Disney one question, this is what it would be. Where is room for Jesus in your magical kingdom? I'm not being critical. I really am not. But as I walked through all of this, I didn't see Jesus. I just didn't. I would love to ask him that. He might have a wonderful response to me, and it would bring joy and peace to my heart. I didn't see Jesus. He never started, as far as I know. He never started with that as his purpose, so it just is an honest question. Where's Jesus in all this? I would have loved to ask him that question. And because I'd like to ask him that question, I need to ask myself that question day by day, don't I? I need to ask us that question as a church day by day. Where's Jesus? The thought that I wanted to share at the end here was, I know this might be kind of like an unfair comparison, Walt Disney World, the magical kingdom, and the kingdom of God. I know there's limitations whenever we do comparisons or analogies. But my closing thought is this. Disney is one of the biggest employers. Actually, he's the biggest employer in Central Washington, I'm pretty sure. But he's a huge employer. And so he trains people. In the church, we call it discipleship and mentoring. But he trains people. He doesn't say, hey, good luck out there, make sure everybody has a good time. Training is very strict there. Trains them. And then he pays them. He does. And I thought, well, the church pays us too, right? You didn't get a check when you came to church today? Whitney! No, just kidding. We read it earlier that our treasures are in heaven. Maybe we don't talk about that enough as a church. But the reality is, Jesus told us that we are to build up our treasures in heaven. where moths and rust destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. You see, what God has showed us in his word is that we can be rich towards him by simply being with him and doing what he's given us to do. Now, it's not in the form of a paycheck necessarily. But do we believe enough that that is reward enough for us to pursue all that he has for us to do? The folks down in Disney World are going to get paid every 2 weeks to a month. They're going to get a check. But do we believe in God's word enough to hear him tell us that, just like what we just read here, he says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Do we believe that or not? Now, you don't have to tell me, because it will be reflected in your lives. So that was my closing thought. It was like, okay, so they get recruited and trained, they get paid. Well, we do too. It's a different way. It's like for eternity. There's another thing, though, and that is their faith is constantly being encouraged and strengthened by the Disney way. It just is. They're continually being reminded of what it's all about. As we do in church, as we do in true Christian fellowship, we come alongside one another and we strengthen another's faith. If we don't, then we lose that faith grows weak, and we lose the vision that God has for us in our lives and in our life as a church and in his greater kingdom. So that's my closing thought. My final thing here this morning is an invitation. And I'm borrowing this. This also is in the book that we're going to start next week in the small group, Good and Beautiful Life. And in the Good and Beautiful Life, one of the assignments, and this is the invitation assignment, I'm inviting you to write a letter to God that starts out, Dear God, I want a good and beautiful life, the good and beautiful life that you want for me, and then begin to describe it back to God as you understand it. I invite you to write a letter to God saying, Dear God, I want the good and beautiful life that you have promised me. Because Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to its full. That's what I want, God. And this is what I see it being. Write a letter to God. Write a letter to God. I invite you to write that letter. And as Smith says in his book, share it with somebody. Keep it in a safe place. Bring it out from time to time to remind yourself of the good and beautiful life, the abundant life that God has intended for all of us who believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we've looked at many things that you are actively doing right now in our life, in our life together as a church, and you're doing throughout the world in your body, your kingdom. Lord, we would pray that we would join you in this more and more, that where our faith is little, that you would make it large, that where we are lazy, that we would recognize that and choose to work harder. Where we are hopeless, that you would fill us anew with that hope, and that would be reflected in our language. And Lord, that we would recognize that we are always better, that we are always stronger when we team with you and one another. Lord, again, thank you for calling us into a good and beautiful life, an abundant life in your Son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.